This episode is sponsored by our friends at Fujifilm North America. Their X-Series digital cameras and lenses may just give you that creative edge you're looking for in your portraits and events. You'll find everything from 40 megapixel image quality to 40 frames per second burst, plus unique in-camera film simulation modes and effortless usability. Click the link in the episode description to find the full range. There has never been a better time to invest in your passion, so make sure to click the link. Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
I was centered more on getting bumps on seats. I didn't care so much about the money. At that point for me, the objective was to make myself known to the professional community and make women talk about me. That was my objective.
Welcome to the Portrait System Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and this show is here to help you succeed in the world of photography and business, to help you learn to become financially free doing what you love and so much more. With over 1 million downloads, countless photographers have taken what they've learned from both our episodes and from theportraitsystem.com, and they have grown their businesses, quit their day jobs, and are designing a life of their dreams. We keep it real and share stories about the ups and downs that come with running a photography business. You'll hear real-life stories of how other photographers run their business, and you'll learn actionable steps that you can take to reach your own goals. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get started. Hey guys, now is your chance to check out all of the incredible photography education we have available for you at theportraitsystem.com. For only $7, you will get access to over 1,000 videos, including pricing, posing, marketing, lighting, sales, inspiring photo shoots, self-value, and more. Yes, you'll get your first month for only $7 when you become a pro member, and you'll get access to the full download library with posing guides and workbooks and so much more. Also, this includes a pricing calculator, a studio startup timeline, our weekly live broadcasts, including Sue Bryce's live talks, access to our private, members-only Facebook groups, special discounts on photography products, and so much more. Head over to theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7 to get your first month for only $7. That's theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7. My guest this week on the Portrait System Podcast is Beata Prasca. Beata is an amazing photographer in Madrid, Spain, and she has been able to have a really great sales average in an area where it is said that people won't spend money on photos. Beata has a specific target market, and that is successful women, often who are in leadership roles. Beata focuses on feeling powerful in her photo shoots, and she has a really great campaign that has been bringing her clients in. She shares all about this during her interview today, and I think you're going to love it. Okay, let's get started with Beata Prasca. Hi, Beata. How are you?
Hi, Nikki. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here on the Portrait System. I'm excited to hear all about it, about your story.
It's my honor. I've been following the Portrait Masters for a couple of years. Well, actually, and I'm listening to every podcast of yours.
Oh, awesome. Isn't it so fun when you get to be on a guest of something that you like watch faithfully or listen to faithfully?
Yeah, exactly. I was like totally thrilled when they contacted with me. It was like, you know, a dream come true to be on the podcast.
Oh, it's so awesome. And real quick, I don't say this enough, but for people listening, we do have on the website, if you go to theportraitsystem.com and click on podcast and scroll down, there's a little thing where you can apply. And you don't have to be the most successful photographer in the world. We like to have a range of people doing different things. So if you're thinking about applying, do it. And if we just, you know, if the team is like, oh, maybe not quite yet, then we have you there, you know, maybe in a little while. But anyway, I encourage people to do that. Okay, let's talk about you, Beata. Take us back a little bit. Have you always been a portrait photographer or did you have a career prior to that?
I had a career prior to that. Actually, portrait photography is quite new to me. I have been in the energy environment for the 17 years out of my career. I actually started in Paris as a petroleum products trader back in 1993. And then I continued in the energy field for the next 17 years, working in Geneva, working in Warsaw, working in London, and eventually from Madrid, also in the energy system on the international level and in executive positions.
And you live in Madrid now?
Yes.
In Spain. Yeah. Okay. Something I read about you on your website that just, I'm like, if you're watching this on video, you can see I'm like praising, like bowing to you that you speak seven languages.
Yes.
Like you're my hero.
Oh, that's, yeah. Well, no, actually, I mean, for someone who comes from the Eastern Europe, I'm Polish.
Okay.
It was a pure necessity because nobody in the world in the past spoke Polish. So it was a pure necessity to, let's say, go out of my country and get to know the world just speaking the languages. And so, yeah, that's the story. There's no more sparkle to that.
Oh, I know, but it really is incredible, you know,
Thank you.
Your brain. And I know it's a little bit different that when it's a necessity as opposed to just someone who goes out and wants to learn, you know, seven languages for fun or whatever. But I feel like there is a really special person who speaks. I just feel like you're very special for speaking.
Oh, thank you.
It's just so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you.
Okay, so you worked in the kind of energy. And at first when you said energy, I was like, oh, as in like Reiki or, you know, the meditation world. But no, this is like energy as in corporate, climate, all of that. Sort of.
Yes, actually,
Okay. Actually,
I started in the back, you know, I was 20 something when I started, and I started in the back office of a crude oil trading. So I worked like my way up towards the trading. I was first in the back office, then I was in the trading,
Okay. And
then I started to work as a managing director of Texas Utilities, which is a U.S. company, back in Warsaw, and then Morgan Stanley in London, and then for Endesa in Madrid. So they're all big corporate companies, and I had roles of responsibility in those companies. So I was actually had a pretty high corporate position in all of them. So for me, being doing what I do right now was 180 degrees shift in career, which I ventured into 5 years ago.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like being a small business owner, doing something creative is quite a shift from doing corporate, you know, dealing with what you were dealing with. Like that's a big shift. Was there a turning point that all of a sudden you just decided like you were done and you needed to change? Or is this something that was a buildup over time?
A little bit of both. My personal circumstances changed 5 years ago. So I thought that was a very good moment to actually try something new professionally. And but on the other hand, I had been thinking about being a business owner, because when you work for big companies, everything is so easy. You know, you have a name, you have a budget, you have a secretary, you know, you don't have to worry about anything. You just have to do your business. And when I was thinking about photography, I have to photograph the whole of my life. My children have like wardrobes, you know, like of photographs. But it was all amateur. So I decided to try my strength in a photography business. But in the beginning, I didn't know what it would mean. I thought I would photograph 90% of the time. I didn't know that being a business owner would entail 90% of all the other things that you have to do. So it came as a bit of a surprise. Obviously, I had to learn. But I came across Sue Bryce, and that was an eye-opener for me. I really took to her as my mentor, not only as my mentor in terms of photography, but most of all, as mentor, as a business owner. That was really wide-opening to me, and I had all the support. I'm a SUBI. I'm one of the three SUBIs in Spain.
Oh, okay.
I'm an accredited portrait master photographer.
Awesome.
So I'm quite happy about that. I needed this recognition, and I needed the proof that my photography is on the professional level.
Well, it is. I mean, it definitely is. I was looking at your work. I was like, wow, it's really, really beautiful for
Thank
sure.
Thank you.
But it is, you know, it's nice to have judges, you know, from around the world to be critiquing and telling you that that's the case. So I love that with the associates. It's very cool. I want to back up a little bit because you had said something about how, you know, when you have this sort of corporate job, you don't have to worry about anything. Everything, a lot of things are done for you, you know, whatever. But it's so interesting because Sue and I just did an episode on her self-value podcast about how sometimes having that corporate job or salary paid job can be a false sense of security, because like you could lose your job. Like the company could go under and then what? You know, I mean, I know you can always go get another job, but it's almost like a false sense of security. Whereas when you have your own business and your own business, really, you're in control. You know, you're the one who can make it or break it. Someone's not going to fire you or you're not going to get laid off. You know, it's just such an interesting mind shift. Yes, there is more to it, but wow, that freedom to be able to do what you want when you want and know that you're not ever going to lose your job. It's kind of nice.
It's nice. And that's what I like, because the one thing that I really love about the business is that I am in control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it works both ways, because you know when you're feeling well, you have to cancel sessions. You don't have a job. But it's really an exercise in self value for me. Mm-hmm. To have my own business is an exercise in self value, because I do charge standard, like professional standard prices, which is very difficult in the Spanish market, because we have mostly shoot and burn photographers, and nobody except for SUBs charges or has a pricing model that is the, let's say, professional pricing model. So it's not always easy, because I'm going to tell you that the hardest thing for me out of all the things in running my own business was actually finding clients. Because when I represented big names like Endesa, Morgan Stanley, Texas Utilities, Alpha Kitten, Total Energies, I had the name of my card, and people actually wanted to do business with me because I represented those first names in the energy industry in the world. But who knows Beata Praska? Nobody. So for me, the biggest shock was, okay, I have my website. Where are my clients? They're not coming to me. Oh my God, I must be horrible. I'm doing something wrong. Until I understood that it's really about reaching to those clients. And as one of the others who said, ABS, always be selling, right? Kitty McKeel, she said that. And I really very much identify with that. So I had to change my mind about, if I don't have clients, it's not because I'm doing a wrong job. No, it's because I'm not doing enough efforts to put myself out there. So putting myself out there, it's something that has cost me more. I'm not 20 anymore. I might not like my wrinkles, but I needed to learn that I need to put myself out there. And I'm doing that for the business, for the sake of business, and for fulfilling my dreams of being a successful business owner. And so I had to, you know, like totally change my mindset. And I think I'm doing it right at the moment.
It seems like you are, for sure. Okay, there was a lot you said in there that I want to back up just a little bit. I want to make sure that listeners who maybe aren't part of like the Portrait System membership, I want to make sure they know what you're talking about. So when we say SUBI, it's just kind of a term that came along when people started following like the business model, or in not even following it necessarily to a T. Like I took the business model and I tweaked it to what worked for me, but just like the basics of a business model that works really, really well. And you can like, that's within the Portrait System where Sue teaches that. And sometimes people are like, I'm a SUBI. Like I follow that business model. So I just want people to be like, what, like who might not know, to be like, what is she talking about? And that's all within the Portrait System in the membership.
Yes.
Now, another thing you said is when you are kind of like in a community and you might be the first or the second or the third who has decided I'm going to charge industry standard, it can be scary as hell. Like you said, it was like, oh my gosh, like it can be hard. Okay. I say this and sometimes people get mad, but it can be done. And we have people, examples from around the world of where it can be done. I'm not saying it's easy at all, but like just a quick example, like, and I know in Seattle, it's the cost of living is higher, pricing is higher or whatever. But when I first started doing photo shoots, you know, personal branding at different networking groups, there were photographers, it was $150 headshot, mini days, like whatever. And I'm like, I charge $1,000. Like, but eventually when you get yourself out there and you build a name for yourself and you have client experiences and referrals, it starts to happen. So maybe you could tell us in Madrid, where this is not common practice to spend thousands of euros or dollars on portraits, like tell us how you started that shift.
Okay. I have to tell you that according to me, nobody wakes up with an idea, you know what, today I need a good photograph. I give myself a photograph. Nobody. right? We wake up, we say, my hair is terrible. I need to go to the hairdresser. Oh, my nails are not done. I'll better call, you know, my manicurist. No, no. So nobody wakes up with this necessity to photograph himself or herself. Mm-hmm. So, and most of the people don't even attach that much significance to their image, to the power of the image. I'm very active on LinkedIn. This is the social media that is my predominant social media.
Oh, on LinkedIn. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I decided to put my efforts into LinkedIn. Of course, I love Instagram as well, but Instagram is, sometimes clients find me on Instagram, but most of my clients come from LinkedIn, and most of my clients also come for a 50 over 50 project. I have to tell you that I needed to make this project 50 over 50 to attract women that I wanted to photograph. And because I come from a corporate industry, I knew exactly that my ideal client would be a professional woman in executive position, because I needed that. I needed to connect with people who are similar like me. I didn't want to photograph just anyone. I needed to connect with women, let's say, of a certain stance, of a certain importance. And I made this project about professional female leadership. Okay. So that rang a bell on LinkedIn. Professional female leadership. So professional women were starting to interested in this project, and I started before COVID. I managed to photograph 5 women. How did I find them? In networking events. I went to a networking event, and there my first client was the ambassador of Costa Rica in Madrid, Ana Elena Chacón-Echevarría. She said, "What a great project. Fine, I'll be there." And this was the first woman I photographed. And the project obviously is about photographing 50 women over 50 years old. And she was the first one. And because she was such a powerful woman, she told all her friends, and other powerful women started to come. But I think they were coming not just for the portrait. They were coming because in Spain, people live in communities, especially women. They live in communities. They like to go out to dinner, 10 of them, 5 of them, not just 2 of them. It's a different culture than back in Poland. That's why this project entailed so many women. And I had ambassadors for this project, you know, like telling all their friends that they have to be photographed. And this project,
Can you just pause there for a second? So just so I can ask you some questions that I know the listeners are wondering about.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you said you got the first 5 from networking.
Yes.
But I know it's not often that you just like show up to a meeting and all of a sudden you have 5 people booked and da-da-da. Like, how did you navigate that? Like, did you just find a local group and show up the first time and you found them? Or did it take some time to get to know people? Like, how did that work?
Yeah. Well, I knew I had to do work networking, okay? Because otherwise I wouldn't get clients. I was just beginning. And how do I get clients? So I went to networking. I went to all the networking events that I could. And I basically put myself out there saying, listen, I have this wonderful project. Are you interested to find out more? And she was, and she was the ambassador. So this is how I found my first ideal woman to photograph for this project. Very successful, because she also used to be the prime minister in her country. So imagine the power, the most powerful woman I could photograph at that time. I did. And then we were shut for COVID for 3 months. We didn't do anything. But obviously, 3 months have gone, you know, everybody was out and everybody wanted to feel beautiful, put the red lipstick that they didn't put for 3 months. So again, I have a good reason. There was a good reason. But most of all, people did not identify with the project because of the beauty. They identified because of the power and of the female leadership. Mm-hmm. So this is how I tweaked to get what I wanted and to make myself known on LinkedIn. That's the story of how I got women in the first place to my studio.
I really love the way you really just narrowed it down to a specific type of person. Like, you niched it down to women in power. You know, I think that's really great. Now, okay, 2 things. When you got these women to do this 50 over 50 project, was it they were booking a full photo shoot? Were they coming in for a certain fee and they were getting one image? How did you work that?
In the beginning, I didn't charge the industry standards, because I just remember pre-COVID, that was 2019. That was like 4 years ago. So I was just beginning. And let me just tell you that I was beginning about a couple of attempts into newborn photography, which I don't like at all. So I knew I had to, I knew I had to change into personal branding. So from what I recall, I only charged something like 200 euros and they got the full makeover, you know, hair and makeup and the session. And then they probably even got one image for free, matted image, printed a matted image. And then for extra photographs, if they wanted to buy, I charged. I can't recall how much I charged, probably 150 or 200 euros per matted image, printed, matted, and digital, I think. Okay. I don't quite remember.
That's how I am too.
But I was centered more on getting bums on seats. I didn't care so much about the money. At that point for me, the objective was to make myself known to the professional community and make women talk about me. That was my objective.
Yes, I love that, Beata. It's like, I think sometimes people do get hung up on the money, especially when you see stories like within the portrait system of like, oh, I had a $5,000 sale, or oh, I had a $3,000 sale, or I had a $25,000 month. And they're like, I want that. But you have to build first.
Yes.
You know, you have to start with a beautiful portfolio and getting your name out there. And, you know, and it sounds like you were doing those things, which is awesome. So, okay, so you got your you know, things rolling, like things are going. And you mentioned something about an ambassador within this campaign sort of project you were doing. Can you tell people what that entails for that ambassador?
Yes. Well, it was, again, something not very intentional. But I think when you are nice to people and you are really provide a great quality service and product, both of them, it has to be both service and product.
Yes.
And you are nice and you are the person that people want to, you know, like you make people, I have a home studio. I have a studio at home. So it's easy for people to come here and feel really great. Everybody who comes says, wow. And they don't have to know that part of the space is my, you know, is my home. They don't have to know because it's an open space and they don't have to know that there is a living area behind. Anyway, I had an ambassador, a woman who is organizing the global, who's actually responsible in Spain for sending the delegation to the Global Summit of Women, which is taking place every year in a different country. It's a big meeting for professional women, Global Summit of Women. You can look for it on LinkedIn or on Google. And this year, actually, those meetings are taking place in Spain in May. And so she saw value in this project. And I didn't have to ask her. She basically was sending all the women from the organization to my studio. So I got to photograph the most influential women in the professional or the professional scene in Madrid. Not only Madrid, because I have clients also from all over Spain. So she became my ambassador, you know, my non-nominated ambassador. And for this, I was forever grateful. Yes.
Okay. So she started referring people to you, talking about you. Yeah. I refer to it also as like an evangelist as well.
Yes.
Like someone who just loves you and screams from the rooftops. And I think it's really important to find someone like this. You know, sometimes they fall into our lap and we don't even realize they're going to be an ambassador for us. And sometimes it's really strategically picking someone to offer a photo shoot who you notice on social media, tags their hairdresser, talks about the people they hire, you know, just screams from the rooftops about other people, has a big network of people in your target market. Like, it's very important.
Yes. In my case, I didn't even think about in terms of business. I just realized that when you're generous, you get back generosity. So it's really that simple. When you always strive towards giving the excellent service and product, it will come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I love that. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, in addition to the campaign how many clients would you say, you know, is like paying your bills and you're bringing the income from this 50 over 50 versus other clients?
I would say the majority, because remember, I have targeted a specific client, a specific gender and a specific age. And before the pandemic, what happened during the COVID is that this gender, this age was the first one to lose jobs. Women over 50 years old were the first one, in executive positions, they were the first one to lose jobs. Mm. So the project made a lot of sense because I always stressed the let's say, the value of the of, and the experience and the wisdom of the woman over 50, professional woman over 50. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you that the project is, let me tell you like three more words about the project, what I do for every woman who takes participation in the project. So every woman has to fill in two questionnaires, obviously sign a contract, and the contract that gives me permission to publish her image for the necessity of the project. But then what I do, I take the copy of what she has written, I take her picture, and I give her visibility on LinkedIn. I publish her photo, I publish her text, and sometimes the photo has like 15,000 this visualization. I'm not sure it's the right word. So mm-hmm. people like that because I'm talking about them in third person, and I don't have to do that, but this is the way I started to work, and I saw that women liked that. So everybody wanted to be in this special group that gives them visibility. So that's one more thing that I'm doing. And also mm-hmm. for each edition of 50 women, I organize a physical exposition. And it's beautiful because I do it in a beautiful palace in the center of Madrid. And
wow.
their images, you can actually have a look on my website under the 50 over 50. There's the first edition, second edition, the third edition. And now there's the fourth edition, 50 over 50 women, we/men. I included men in that because I wanted to make it more diverse and more inclusive. So now I'm bringing men, and now it's bigger because I have to photograph hundreds of them. 50 women and 50 men in the project. So you can see from the videos that it's in a beautiful palace. Each portrait is printed in 60 by 90 centimeters in metacrylate, which is like a beautiful, huge portrait. And I organize a round table in the inauguration, and we talk about female leadership. So it's like it's a bigger event. It's not only about the beauty. It's about the achievements of those women, of what they can bring towards the society, of how they can inspire other women who might be hesitating taking the lead into setting up their own entrepreneurship, their own activity, you know. So that's the bigger objective. That's the biggest objective. It's like other women should be encouraged by these women, because I'm talking about what they achieve, how they achieve that, and that we all have the impostor syndrome, so that, you know, it helps other women. That's the whole objective.
I was just, you know, as you were talking through, I was not listening, but just kind of watching the video. I think it's fantastic. I just wanted to be able to reference it. It is amazing. It's so well done. It makes, you know, makes me want to be part of it. It's really, really great. And I think the way you've done this is so smart. You niched it down to a very specific target market. You made beautiful visuals around it. You made it a great experience. And it almost seems like it's like kind of exclusive, like first edition, second edition, third edition. It's really, really great. Yeah, I'm super impressed. Yeah, I encourage people to go to your website and check it out because it's really neat.
Thank you.
Now, can we talk a little bit about pricing and how, because
yes.
I know you're not just giving away all the photos now,
like
when you were first starting out. So tell us a little bit about pricing.
Yes. So for example, for this 50 over 50 project, there is a session fee. And everybody gets the information beforehand, and I encourage them to read the information on prices, which I send them as a link, because I'm always scared that they don't open this link. And when they come to the session, they will think that the session price includes everything. So I'm always mm-hmm. careful. Please read the price list in case you want to invest in additional pictures. So the way it works is that they pay a session fee, which is 399 euros, well, 400 euros, and they get my time and the time of my makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And they get, because they are part of the 50 over 50 project, they get one image, let's say, as a gift. And that image is the image that will appear in the expo. And that will the image that I will use for their promotion on LinkedIn, on my Instagram as well. So they get that. And then they can purchase additional images. So they come for the session, we do the session with changes of wardrobe, of course, and I'm trying to be creative. And then we sit down, and I'm not doing the physical reveal anymore, because in the past I was doing physical reveal, like editing the images, mounting them, putting them on the wall for the mm-hmm. wow effect. Of course they had the wow effect, but then I realized one important thing is that I'm judging a picture from the point of view of a professional point of view, but it's not mm-hmm. my face. So I discovered that women, they pick up pictures looking at their face. And this is a very personal thing. I mean, I can't mm-hmm. 100% well, the expression, they can. So yes. what we do is we do a reveal of the raw images in Lightroom. And we narrow the possibilities. And then until there comes a time when she, for example, picked up 30 or 20, at which point I asked her, look, this is the selection. This is the point where you have to tell me whether you invest in more photographs or you just walk out with this one gift image that I give to you. And then she makes the decision on mm-hmm. buying more photographs or just taking the one that was included in the price. And all the times, obviously, it's very difficult because they love the images.
Okay. I think this is a really great, efficient way to do this because it is, you know, people are coming in not necessarily with the expectation that they have to buy portraits or I'm going to do this for my website or I need these for whatever. Like, it sounds like it's more about just being part of the experience. And the reason I say that is when someone just books me for a personal branding shoot, it's because they are seeking out photos specifically because they need them for work, for their website, for their social media, or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're likely going to buy because they're reaching out specifically mm-hmm. for that. Where for this, I feel like it's to be part of something bigger, maybe not yes. necessarily to buy the photos.
Yes.
So I think that it's smart to not spend all of that time and energy and like everything on editing things. How often do people not buy versus buy like a package or more individual photos?
It depends. Before the summer, I used to sell a lot of review boxes. And I was like, before mm-hmm. summer, it was my time. Now, this summer, I don't know, we have a political crisis here and the prices in Spain have gone so much up. And I mean, it's really food-wise, for example, it's, and I see that in the sales that I make, but I also do something that I didn't do in the past. During the review session, many times, I do explain the value of the photographs and I do explain. Yeah. So sometimes I make a sale, even though it's not the sale of a review box, but many times a client will tell me, look, okay, no, it's, let me consult my husband or something like that. And I say, mm-hmm. no, you have to decide right now. Maybe you can decide your husband, but let's pick up the images that you will want when you finally consult your husband. Or many times, sometimes they will say, oh my God, it's so expensive. Or maybe she didn't read the price list. And I don't like that. I really make sure I repeat three times, please read the price list in case you mm-hmm. want to invest in more images. I also say before the session, in case you want images for LinkedIn, because most of the women are very active. They appear in press releases, they appear mm-hmm. in conferences. They will want a professional image. So, you know, like they have to fill in a questionnaire in which they tell me, I want you to concentrate more on personal branding or I want more personal images. So this is all discussed before the session so that I don't have to go through this while yeah. she's being prepared. So I make sure I really prepare. But sometimes I'm capable of making a sale out of no sale. Even if she says, you know, this is so expensive, I will just take the image. And I said, are you sure? Are you sure? This is for life. Those images are going to work for you while mm-hmm. you sleep, because I can see that she has a very poor image on LinkedIn. So I can mm-hmm. I can really explain. It's not talking a client into a sale. It's not. It's explaining the client the advantages of buying a couple of more images. Mm-hmm. So I do that because maybe she doesn't realize people don't work with photographers. Never. I never photograph models. I photograph, you know, like everyday people like you and me. Mm-hmm. And still they see like cover quality images. And so they will, I'm capable of explaining to them the value of the portraits, the value of their portraits. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's really important to, if you're out there listening and that's not part of your language around whatever genre that you're shooting, about why, like the value around it. It's like for personal branding, for example, I tell my clients that these photos will make them more money if they're used well.
Exactly. You know, it's like
there's different points that I have when someone's like, oh, I just need one headshot or whatever. Like, make sure you're using that language if you don't have that yet. And then the other thing too is tell us about like packages. Are there specific mm-hmm. packages or is it all a la carte? I want to make sure people mm-hmm. know what about that.
No, it's not a la carte. So basically, I follow, let's say the three product model, but the client has, let's say, a safe clause in the contract. The client is always communicated that they will only buy what they want. So there is that safe close. Okay, I don't have to buy a package. And that's my risk. But this is the way I decided to work. Because remember what I told you in the beginning. I want to make myself known as the best portrait photographer in Madrid. So the more people I photograph, the more people will talk about me. So I don't care if they take one or three images. Obviously, I want them to take higher package, my review box. I work with Graphy Studio and I don't work with anybody else. Because Graphy Studio has one product that I love, the review box. And I only work with the review box. And I work with black or white or any other color that that is a, let's say, personal branding color of my client. But I have in my studio always white and black review boxes because it's a product I like, I love, I would like to have one. And I'm perfectly capable of selling that to people because I believe that it will make them happy. So the packages are the following. If we talk about packages, they can take a review box, let's say, of 20 images. They can take a review box of 10 images and we take a review box of 6 images. For every single image, I charge €350 plus tax. That's one single image, which is matted printed in 20 per 30 centimeters. So it's the biggest passepartout that they sell in Graphy Studio, okay? Each single image, 350 plus tax. If they take minimum 6 images, they will receive the review box free. If they take minimum 10 images, they will receive obviously the review box plus a 30% discount. So instead of paying 3,500 per 10 image review box, they will pay 2,500 plus tax.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plus the session fee. So ideally, that's my that's the package I most sell. Okay, because there is a review box and there is a discount. Ideally, that's my that's the package I want to sell the most. And before the summer, I sold the most. But right now, the market is a bit quiet. I don't know why. It's I haven't stopped doing my job. But I have to tell you something also, Nikki. Many people copied my idea of let's say. Presenting a special person on LinkedIn with the presentation. I started that 3 years ago, well, 4 years ago, pre-pandemia. And now they, I see many initiatives, similar initiatives, which is good because they promote women. But I think I was the first one to do that on LinkedIn 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Now, are there other, because a $2,500 for your, or 20, sorry, 2,500 euros for your middle package plus your session fee, like that is an incredible sales average if you were to always sell your middle package.
Yes, if I were to always sell, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are there other photographers who charge much less than you?
All of them.
Yeah. But all I had of a them. Feeling you were going to say that, but here you are and you're doing it. Like really, if you take out COVID, you've only been in business for like 2 years.
3 years.
Right?
Three years.
Three years. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. But still, that's not, you know, especially when you're in an area where people are not used to paying those prices. And even if you are only selling like a couple of your middle package here and there, and then maybe some people take one or whatever, and it averaged out to be a little bit less than your lower package or whatever, like that is still really incredible. And I know you said too, that one of your main goals is still to get bums on seats, to get clients in the door. And ultimately that's going to grow and more people are going to start to pay that 2,500 euros. Like it's just really great. And I can see you just continuing to grow and grow.
Yes. And I hope to be able to invite more men because right now I included men and I don't know whether it's the same for you, but for me, men are much easier to photograph because they are more sure of themselves. And obviously the insecurities always come out in the studio, but men are so easy to photograph. They're not fussy. They are, yeah, great. I look wonderful. And so perfect. And so I'm really happy with the special edition because I'm desiring to put more men into my portfolio and to really work more with men. Yes.
Yeah. That's exciting. Very cool. Have you ever considered bringing in like their partners into this? Like with the women bringing in their partner and the men bringing in their partner to even just to sell more photographs?
If somebody asks me the question, can I bring my partner? I said, yes. But there is a surcharge.
Of course,
in that case, yeah, but there's a small surcharge, not even that big. And my personal opinion is that they will not buy more pictures. They will just, if they won't bring their partner, if they have a specific number of photos that they will want to buy, they will not go over the specific number of photos.
Oh, I've had such a different experience with that.
Yeah, but you know, Nikki, it's the US market. I mean, I've been to the US on numerous occasions. Actually, my son studies in Vermont. So he studies in Vermont and he skis professionally. So I've been, last time I've been there, I stayed in a Airbnb home, and they were all having portraits on their walls. And it's so normal in the US to have portraits on the walls, like family portraits. Look at that. This is my family portrait.
I love that. You know? Oh, I'm not saying to do a family portrait. I'm saying that maybe their partner also needs professional photos. I'm not saying necessarily like a family photo or anything like that. I see.
But in that case, I would charge two sessions for him and for her. Okay. Except that if she wants to have, like, let's say, one image with her as a partner together, then I will just charge a small surcharge of €50, and that's it. But if he wanted pictures, then he would have to. That would have to be a two-session fee. Yes,
got it. Okay, cool, awesome. Well, this is really, really great, and it's encouraging to hear of, you know, people doing it outside of the U.S., outside of Canada, outside of Australia, where, you know, it's It is. It's a little bit trickier.
It is tricky because here the sun, I mean, everybody's shoot and burn. And even, let's say, the professional photographers who are photographing professionals, let's say, in companies like PricewaterhouseCoopers or Deloitte, you know, they still charge €500 per day of work and they give everything.
And they
go to the place. That's not for me because it's not my, that's not what I want to earn. And that's a different business model. So, you know, everybody works the way he or she wants, but it's true that I have high prices, and sometimes people say, oh, no, I thought, you know, I didn't want that because they don't.
Sure. Yeah, it happens. Yeah.
They don't see the value. They don't see the value. And even if I try to explain my value by, for example, putting a banner on LinkedIn of the person before and after, and they see, oh my God, what a difference. Then they realize they should have a professional photo shoot for their LinkedIn, and many people just don't. So part of my effort also goes into education. I always educate. I publish at least 2 blogs per week on LinkedIn, in which I try to educate people about the importance and the power of a portrait as an identity, as a professional identity, because we like to do business with people, not with companies. And if you don't have this portrait that connects you with your audience, then maybe you don't have a client. So there's lots of education that goes into this business, but I don't mind because I came to a stage where I'm, you know, perfectly sure of what I'm doing and of the value of the service and of myself. Even if I don't find it, I just remember, you know, I have to, as you said it, one foot in front of the another, just continue and be consistent and always do your work. And clients will come if you do that.
Well, and it goes to show too that you have to do the marketing. And it sounds like you have found a really great way to meet, you know, put your name in front of and your photos in front of as many people as possible. It's a law of averages. A lot of people are going to say no. Some people are going to say yes. But like everything you're doing on LinkedIn and your networking and everything, you're not just sitting there going, no one's going to pay my prices. I can't get any clients. Like, you are marketing. You are doing it. You are like super proactive. And that is the difference.
Yes. But in the past, I was like, you know, nobody loves me. Don't get me wrong. Everybody goes through the stage. Nobody loves me because nobody calls me. So it was just shifting, you know, and there came a moment when it shifted totally, you know, by itself, but it took me years of education, and Sue Bryce and the Portrait Masters helped me get there. Yeah.
Well, I love it. I'm excited for you. It's so awesome to have our, you know, European members sharing their stories. And so thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, awesome.
I do have a couple questions, though, that I always ask at the end of each episode. Yes. And the first, I know you know because you listen, but
every single one of them.
The first question is, what is something you can't live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
Spider holster. I forgot I couldn't, it was impossible to work. I just can't do without my spider holster. It's always there. It's always available. I have to correct my hair, camera here, and, you know, just hands-free. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. I love mine too. I feel naked without it. Okay. Number two is, how do you spend your time when you're not working?
Art and sport. I try not to work Saturday and Sunday. I mean, my kids are grown-ups. My kids both study, so eventually I had time for myself, but I respect my time. I respect my space. Good. So either Saturday or Sunday, one of those 2 days, one day is dedicated to art. Madrid is a very cultural city, so there's always something to see, a new exposition, mm-hmm. a new gallery, a new whatever, or a new restaurant. It's so much going. There's so much going on in Madrid. I really love Madrid for that. And the other day, I'm mountain trekking just to get, you know, the stress and everything out. So I was taking my car. We have mountains. It's like, you know, and I would drive from Madrid with mountains. So I do that. Yes.
Ah, that sounds awesome. Very cool. All right. Number three is I know you said spider holster too, but what is another photography product that you would recommend to photographers?
Photography product. I love my Profoto lights because my studio is really small. I mean, you would be surprised how small is my studio. And Profoto has lights without battery lighted. They're battery powered. I don't have to have the cables. Yep. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to do the session with cables everywhere. And I have stands on, especially, and now I also had stands on wheels. They're from newer and a lot of them. They move very smoothly. So yeah, those two things, you know, Profoto lights, battery operated, and my newer C stands on wheels.
Sweet. I need a C stand on wheels so bad. I keep saying that.
Get it from newer. The Black Friday. You get them almost, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Good idea. I'm putting that on my list. Okay, number four is, what would you tell people who are just starting out?
Oh, die first, think later. I mean, don't be afraid to experiment and always be creative. And that applies to me as well, because there are moments, there are, let's say, months when I don't experiment enough. But even if we are successful photographers, I think one day per week we should be experimenting. New lights, new setups, I mean, whatever. Just exercise the creativity all the time. Exercise the creativity, because when I look at my gallery, sometimes I think, oh my God, it's too, you know, I've seen it all. I need to do something new, maybe gels. There are many inspiring photographers in the world, and I admire many other photographers, and I'm thinking, okay, let's try to do a session like he does or she does. And that's something that is worth doing every single week. Yes.
Smart. I love that advice. One time when I was doing my outdoor and on location course, and I was like, gosh, what can I do to like stretch my wings? Because I was photographing in all different types of light, harsh sunlight, gray, cloudy days, in a client's home, like in a dark studio, like all the things. And there was a gray day and I really wanted golden hour in the snow because I was doing it in different seasons as well. And I was like, I'm going to try to make golden hour. I had never done this before. And I did. I made beautiful golden hour with a light, you know, and orange cellophane, like, oh, and it turned out so pretty. And even though it was like 14 degrees, but anyway, so, and now I know, just like you were saying, Beata, it's like, now I know if I ever need to create golden hour again, I totally know how. It's great.
Yeah. I sometimes forget how I created something. And I asked my assistant, oh my God, do you remember the lights? Yeah. Does it happen to you?
Oh, I love it. Oh yeah. My brain is all over the place. Awesome. Well, thank you. And where can people find you online?
Okay. So my name and my surname. So www.beataprasca.com. BEATAPRASKA.com. So that's my website. And from my website, they can connect it to all my Instagram, to my LinkedIn, to my YouTube, Twitter. Pinterest, I'm everywhere. Maybe there is a connection on Pinterest, but on Instagram, I'm also very active. It's Beata / what's the name for the lower slash?
Underscore.
Beata underscore Prasca for my whole threads, which is something I like. And I also have other accounts, let's say for pregnancy, but Instagram is shadowing pregnancy because you know, the images are judged by machines, not by people. So for them, if you show them a little bit of belly, they think it's not appropriate. So I've been shadowed. I've been actually told by Meta that my images are not shown to people who don't follow me. So you can't rely on social media, really. Yeah, you're not in control.
So true. That's why I always talk about email list.
Oh, email list. Yeah, I'm. it doesn't work for me so much, really, because you know what? I think email lists work when you offer, when you often offer a discount. I don't offer discounts.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have to have anything to do with discounts. Not even close.
So I misunderstood
the whole other world out there.
I need to learn about that.
There's a whole other world out there. Yeah, I mean, because you could be collecting emails to have on your list, and then when you open your fifth edition, doesn't have to have anything to do with a discount. But now, the people who showed interest in you before, it's like, hey, edition 5 is open, you know, and
I have to give it a second thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, thank you again. I appreciate you, and I will see you online soon.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It was really a pleasure and a dream come true. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Beata.
Thank you, Nikki.
Awesome.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com, where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge, plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.
It's time for me to tell you about this episode's sponsor, Fujifilm North America. If you haven't experienced portraits and wedding scenes created on the large format GFX system digital camera sensor, you are missing out. Along with up to 102 megapixel resolution, you'll find rich colors and gorgeous in-camera looks. There's also AI-driven subject detection and 8 frames per second bursts inside the compact GFX100 digital camera. Hit the link in this episode's description to view the products. It's time to dream big in your creative process.